They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I'm your host, Brittany Ming, and today we're talking to Alicia Metter. Alicia is a divorced single mom of two boys living in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. She is passionate about community, friendships, and authenticity. When she's not working her job in local government, you can find her either somewhere outdoors, playing darts, hanging with friends at a local restaurant, watching British television, or planning her next adventure, preferably one that involves England, or attempting to navigate the world of online dating. Someone please help. Yes. Alicia, I'm so thankful you came on today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So I love that you love England. I also love England, and I love following your travels whenever you go back there. So thank you for traveling back to England and giving me the ability to live vicariously through you.
Well, thank you for living there for a while so that I vicariously live through you.
Yes, it's a reciprocal relationship, right? So today we're going to be talking about co-parenting. I've had other episodes in the past where I've talked about divorce, and I thought it'd be really unique to come on and have somebody talk about a co-parenting relationship and how that has shaped you as a woman and as a mom in growth and struggle and everything in between. So I was wondering if you could just tell us your story and why this is close to your heart.
So I will start off by saying my story is a little unique, and it's not going to, all the specifics won't apply to every situation, but some things are similar. So we separated in August of 2022. After 16 years of marriage. We had gotten married right out of college, like literally right out of college, and have two boys, and had built a life together. And then after a long series of events, he came out as gay in August of 22. So obviously that was a shocker. And the first 6-ish months was not great. But we separated then. He moved out, and then we live in Virginia, like I said. So it takes, the way the laws are here, you can't actually divorce it for a minimum of a year if you have kids. So we've been separated for 18 months. Our divorce was finalized in September of 23. So we've officially been divorced about 5 months.
So how old are your boys now?
They are 12 and 9.
Okay.
So one's in middle school, one's in third grade.
Yeah. And where does your ex-husband live in relation to where you are?
He lives about 5 to 7 minutes, just across town.
Okay. So where does your custody look like with him?
Yes. So that's an evolving thing. When we first separated, I had them full time for about 7 months. So they would go to his house sometimes in the evenings or to go hang out, but I had them overnight, except I think maybe 2 weekends in 7 months. And then, wow. Which was tired. I was very tired. But as things evolved, we kind of started doing one night a week, 2 nights a week, that sort of thing. So our current agreement is that it's a 65-35 split. So I have them 65% of the time. He has them 35% of the time, which generally equates to two nights, 1 week, 3 nights the next. So it's kind of like every other weekend and then like one night during the week.
Yeah. Is this something that you guys just came up with together, or is this something that you decided on with your lawyers or with the courts, or is this just like, this is what works for our family situation?
Mainly what works for our family situation right now. We both, you know, obviously consulted our lawyers and worked with them to put in our agreement some flexibility that if we need to change for any reason, as long as we both agree to it in writing, then it's fine, that we don't have to go back to the courts and go through the whole thing again.
Yeah. So how has it been like with your kids? Like, you have your children. I'm sure you're like primarily concerned about how are my boys doing? How are we parenting together? How has that evolved and transformed over like the last year and a half, 2 years?
Oh yeah. It is still evolving and transforming, especially at their ages. I feel like it's just, we're about ready to hit puberty with the one, and like that's its own thing. But I feel like even throughout the whole process with all the hurt and all the just navigating, scenarios that you didn't ever really expect, we both have been very much in agreement that we wanted the kids to be the focus and to be okay and what works best for them, And so I think because we're in agreement on that, it's helped a lot in the way that we are able to, even when we have disagreements, try to keep them the focus of the schedule and, who's doing what and when. So overall, the kids are honestly doing really, really well. Like I've been really impressed with them. And that could change. I mean, over the years, they could have, who knows? But right now, they're doing great.
Yeah. So something that I am always curious about, and maybe in a morbid way, but maybe in a like, tell me about what your life looks like as a woman when you don't have the kids with you. Like, how is it like going? Like, you had those 7 months where you're like, I am the primary parent. Like, I am doing this all by myself. And then it grew into this, 70-30 relationship. What did it look like that first weekend or like that first 3 days when they went to his house and you're like, I don't have any little people here?
It was really disorienting, like really disorienting, especially because I think like previously, like if I would go on a girls' weekend or like they would maybe go to their grandparents or something, you knew you were still the one responsible for them in the back of your mind. And like I know that I still am, but now that we're divorced, it's like if they're with their dad, like he is their primary caregiver when they're with their dad. And I legitimately do not have to do anything with them. And that feels very, very weird. And I kind of just aimlessly wandered for a while. And it still feels like I described it to someone yesterday actually as whiplash. Like it just, because you're either fully on, I mean, I'm doing all the things, right? There's no backup at any point when they're here. And or I'm fully off. Like when they're not here. And so then it's like, okay, I have so many options. I could clean my house, that's a tornado, or I could go do something for myself, or I could go hang out with friends, or I could try to go on a date, or I could like, there's just so many options and a limited amount of time.
Yeah.
So I'm still figuring that out.
Have you said, I'm going to try something new? Or have you like found yourself being in a situation where you're like, I have options I never had? And does that feel scary or liberating or paralyzing? How does that look in your life?
All the above. I'm trying to lean into it more. I talked to my therapist about this, that I'm trying to lean into fun this year and just because I'm very much a like, as long as I have my responsibilities done, then I can go have fun. And I'm trying to just be okay with going and having fun, regardless if all the responsibilities are done, as long as the major ones are taken care
Yeah.
of. So it really it is liberating in a lot of ways, but it also feels almost like I'm living two parallel lives. Like I have my single life and then I have my mom life, and trying to connect those sometimes is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
So
what the kids are the thing that is the link. It's like if
yeah.
they're there, you're doing this mode. And if they're not there, you're doing this mode. And it's like, but they are the most important things in your life, but also like prioritizing yourself, like that's so hard.
Yes, very much so. The one thing I did was realize I didn't really have like a hobby. Like I have things I love to do, but it wasn't like I didn't do anything consistently every week. So I started playing darts, which is really weird. But I love it. I'm not great at it, but it's really fun. So I'm in a darts league and I do that every Tuesday, which has been a good, like, that's been kind of a good solid base for my week. Like I know every Tuesday I have this thing. I see the same darts friends. I go out, I have a couple beers. Like it's just a good base for my week, I think. And then also a way for me to get out and meet people that aren't all married with children, because most
Yeah.
of my friends were.
Yeah.
So
Have you felt like your social circle has changed since you got divorced? Like you're wanting to be more with people who I'm sure you still have old friends, like your ride or die girls that are always like going to be there for you. But you said you're not always hanging out with like married people with children. Like, has that shifted for you?
It has. Like, and I did have some, I had a mix already because of like work and stuff, but I do feel like I'm trying to navigate that balance of making sure that I don't just hang out with, and again, most of my closest friends still are married with kids. But if I only hang out with them all the time, I will also be 80 and single, and you know, I will never meet anybody else. So I do feel like it's been trying to find a balance of that. So it's almost like my social circle has widened, which is great in some senses. And then also, I feel like I have limited amounts of time for everybody. So it's been, I've had to get creative. Like I use Voxer a lot more now and Marco Polo, and to kind of keep in touch with people that I used to see a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you get describe a story of a co-parenting incident with your ex-husband where you're like, okay, we are really navigating a tricky situation with the kids, but you guys came out and you felt really good on the other side?
I mean, one, a more recent one was just kind of around boundaries, like figuring out boundaries for ourselves. So to give some context, you know, I kept our house. So I still am in the same house that we were in. A lot of my day-to-day doesn't look different for me, right? Like I kept most of the furniture. I kept, like, my life looks very similar from the outside, I guess, you know, like physically as it did before. Whereas he moved into a new apartment, like everything, it's like a whole new thing, right? And so for the kids, this is home base. So they get on and off the bus here. Even the days that they're with him, they get off the bus at the bus stop, come home, and wait for him to come pick them up. So they're in my house most days. And I want that obviously to be, it's their home. So they're in and out all the time. What happened was at first, it was like he would also just walk in when it was time to come pick them up, you know, or he has a partner now, and his partner one time brought the boys over to grab something and didn't call first. And all of a sudden, I was home by myself that weekend, and I heard the door open, and I was like, "What in the world is happening?" You know, like because I had no idea anyone was coming over. And then all of a sudden, I have a kid in the house, and I was like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?" Thankfully, you know, just hanging out, but like, So boundaries, I think, has been a big one, and just trying to figure out how to navigate it so the boys feel comfortable at both places and feel like home, but that we have our separate lives and we have boundaries. So it's been awkward at times to ask that, but you know, it's just been like, hey, I would really appreciate it if you could, you know, give me a call before you stop by, or you know, just give me a heads up when you come to the door, please make sure you knock, like, you know, that sort of thing. And thankfully he's been very, very respectful of that. And we also had an incident where he was out of town. They had been at his house and then he went out of town and they went to their grandparents and they accidentally left some things in his apartment that they needed, except I don't have the key to his apartment, whereas he has a key to my house. And so I couldn't get the things. You know, and so then we had to have a conversation about that. So he actually just this morning brought me a new key. So I now have a key so that if that happens again, we can get it. But it's ongoing, I think. Like it's not necessarily one instance usually. It's usually something that kind of we have to work through and talk through and evolves.
I love that you're talking about how it evolves because sometimes I think when a big life event happens, a huge transition, people who are planners, which I'm a planner and I think you are a planner, you like want to think of like the list of 69 things that you're going to need to make this work. And then you think, then something comes up and you're like, why didn't I think of this? Why didn't I, of course, like need a key to his house. Why didn't I think of this? But you can't think of everything. And it's like, okay, we're still growing, we're still evolving, and having grace for yourself in the fact that like you didn't think of everything. I know for me, I would just have to have some like ne positive self-talk to counter the negative self-talk that I know I would slip into if I was in your shoes. Has that been the case for you? Like you just have to remind yourself, okay, I'm not thinking of everything and it's okay.
Yes, 100%. And I think I and I don't know obviously because everyone's situation is different, but I would assume, especially if maybe like in my scenario, you're a little blindsided by it and you're put in a situation that you didn't expect at all. you feel almost a higher sense of obligation to make sure that things are taken care of and stay safe, stable. Can't talk. Stay stable for your kids. And so there's that sense of like, okay, I have to do this right because I don't want to add any more stress for them, you know? And that's something I've really had to work through is like, I'm not the only adult here. Like, and it also doesn't have to be perfect and they will be okay. You know, I've had to let go of a lot of control, which at first was very hard, but, now, you know, like if my laundry is done, I'm happy, which is not normal.
let everything go. The laundry is the litmus test.
Yeah, right.
Do you think that letting things go and learning to trust him to take care of the kids, like, are those two sides of the same coin or are they two different things?
I think they're very related. Yeah. I think that's something that I had to really delineate. Like, I think that's part of like that first six-ish months, you know, when someone has broken your trust for whatever reason. And again, it's very layered and complicated, but when your trust has been broken with someone, that tends to translate in your brain to every area of your life then, right? And I had to separate the trust and the relationship I had with him versus the trust and relationship he had with his kids. And that took a while because those things were all so interconnected and intertwined for me. But when I was finally able to kind of separate those things and be like, okay, like he's a good dad. Like he loves his kids and he's a good dad. Like, those two things can coexist. Like our relationship is no more on the same, obviously, level that it was, but he can still have that relationship with his kids. But it took a while to get there for me.
Yeah. I think it's important to hear those stories because those things don't happen overnight. It's not like you can just flip a switch and be like, oh, I can trust in this area. Like, and I think if people are in that messy middle, and they think, I don't know if I can ever trust this person, or I'm really struggling in this area, I think it's important to hear people who have worked through it to be like, it's okay if it takes you a while to get there, because it doesn't happen instantaneously or in a week or a month or 6 months. Like, it's a process to work through like this new life that you're living with your kids and with the father of your children.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because your relationship with your ex-partner also changes. Like they are still, sometimes I refer to it as, it's almost like it's like when we're in the same room, or like, and we've done holidays together, his parents live here, and I have a great relationship with them, which I'm thankful for, you know, but it's almost like it's like this obscure family member, like a cousin, but then like you're wait a second, we used to be married, but now we're also parenting together. Like, your brain has a hard time wrapping around it, you know, because they're still in your life very much, but they're not the same either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have so much history together too, like right. In intimate life history, like living together, having children together, like growing up together, like yeah. Through, you know, all these life transitions, I can imagine like that takes time too, to learn how to be in new roles in each other's lives. So it's important just to name these things out loud and be like, it's okay. And it's hard.
Right. Yep. And I think that that is a daily thing.
Yeah.
Because there's always something.
How do you feel like you've named some things like having your Tuesday night darts and doing things like that, but how do you feel like you're coming into a new sense of self through going through a divorce, co-parenting, having this co-parenting relationship? Like, how do you feel like you've are changing and growing in yourself as a woman?
That's a good question. I think I'm learning to really trust myself more. I've always been fairly self-confident. But as an adult, I've never been on my own. I got married when I was 21. So every decision that I've made has been with someone else in mind or with their opinion or their, you know, I haven't been able to just make decisions for myself and they that don't necessarily have a consequence for anyone but me, you know? And I think, again, obviously most of my decisions still affect my kids, but even small things, like I got a tattoo last year, I got my nose pierced a couple weeks ago because I wanted to, like, things like that, where it was just like, oh, I can just make a decision because I want to do it, and that's okay. I think that has been a very big area of growth for me, is just being able to do something because I want to and not having to necessarily ascribe morality to it. And also trusting my gut, you know, learning to listen to my intuition and kind of just go with that.
Have you been able to reflect back on maybe early parenting, or, you know, parenting married versus parenting now, and you think, oh, why didn't I do this before? Like, have you thought about that?
No, 100%. I'm like, and I think it's one of those things too, where it's like, before you have kids, people can tell you all day long what it's like to have kids, and you're not going to understand it until you have them. Like, you just can't. And I think it's the same thing with this, but yeah, looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I stressed about way too much little stuff that really did not matter, like, at all, you know? I think I'm a lot more relaxed in parenting now, honestly. And part of that's because they're getting older, and, you know, it's just, it shifts. It's not so physically demanding all the time, but, yeah, I just feel like it's more like, okay, this is who I am. These are my kids. Like, this is our relationship, and we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have seen you. I mean, I follow you on Facebook, and we knew each other in college. So our friends and mutual friends go way back. But I've seen a lot of joy in just your life and how you are living it. Can you talk about the joy that you cultivate in your life and that you're leaning into, just like traveling and friends and nature and the things I see in your pictures? I know that that's genuine you, because you're a very authentic person, but I just wonder if you can narrate some of that to us.
Sure. I think something that has always been important to me is enjoying the life that I have. I think that's always been, I've always tried to cultivate that, but I think even more so since the separation and divorce, like, I've realized I can, like, life is going to be hard regardless, right? It doesn't matter what we do. Like, again, like, I did everything, and I know you talk a lot about your background and everything. Like, I did everything the quote unquote right way, and here I am, you know, like, so you can't really control a lot of what happens to you in life, but you can control how you respond to it, I guess. And so I've really just been trying to pay attention to what makes me feel like myself. I love to be outside. I can tell if I'm getting squirrely, if I'm getting kind of anxious, like, I need to go be outside. Like, last night, I didn't have darts last night. I usually do, but it was beautiful here. And so I was like, I'm going to go to the woods. So, like, I grabbed a book, I grabbed a journal, I grabbed a beer, and I walked and went down to a creek and sat and journaled. Like, and I came home and I felt so much better. Like, so just trying to pay attention to what makes me feel like me. Mm-hmm. I took a trip to England in the fall by myself. You know, I traveled. That was the first time I traveled that far by myself. I absolutely loved it, and I highly recommend it. It was so much fun. And just, yeah, I don't know, really trying to pay attention to the moments that I feel the most like myself and doing those more often.
Yeah, that's really good. I think also, you know, thinking of people listening and even thinking of myself, like, I am married, I have 5 kids, like, everybody's family situation looks different, but I think the things you're saying can be takeaways for any woman who is in a situation, maybe she wants to feel more like herself, you know, after you go through, you get like your first baby, or you have a 2-year-old and a baby, and you're like, I just feel like I've gone through this huge transition and I don't feel like myself anymore. Mm-hmm. I think things like consciously having a moment to think of, what can I do that brings me joy? What can I do to help me feel more like myself, even though I've gone through a huge life transition? And that can look so different for so many people. For you, it was going through a divorce. For other people, maybe it's a huge move. Maybe it's, mm-hmm. you know, you have twins, or you have a child who has a health diagnosis or a mental diagnosis, and your life can feel like it's turned upside down. I think that centering ourselves as women and feeling like, okay, how can I take care of myself so that I can enjoy this life that I have? Because nobody else can live out joy for us.
Yes.
We have to experience it in our own bodies for ourselves. And I think that can be so hard to grasp onto when so many outside pressures or even inside pressures can feel like it's just crowding it out.
Yes, 100%. I think you're right. And I think too, it's hard to, when you don't have a lot of space, especially like if you've got, I mean, little kids or like kids with health issues or, you know, like what you and I have both had, like your mental energy, there's not a lot of it. There's just not a lot there. And so then when you feel like you have a few, you know, minutes or hours to do something for yourself, it's kind of like you don't even know where to start sometimes. And I think for me, what really helped was broadening a little bit to like what types of things make me feel like myself. So like being outside, like that's a generalization, right? Being outside. But knowing that, then when I do have time, it's like, okay, what do I have time for? Can I take a quick walk? Do I just need to go sit on the porch? Do I need to go down, you know, like go for a hike if I've got all afternoon? There's different things I can do that all fall under that category. But having a broad category of knowing what makes me feel like myself, I think has helped in different seasons.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I know that for me, like doing yoga and doing like long stretch yoga, like those are the things I know if I do it, I'm going to feel better afterwards. So sometimes I only have 10 minutes. Sometimes I can have 40 minutes.
Right.
But you know, like finding a way to be like, what is it? Or taking a shower. I'm like, I know if I can just reset and take a shower, then I'm going to feel better about the day. Yes. If you're just overloaded, overwhelmed, like you've got a lot on your mind, a lot on your plate, I think those things can just be the personal reset that we need as women to keep showing up in our lives as ourselves.
Yes.
Because I think it's so easy just to get into like mom robot mode and just be like, I'm just going to tick, 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 tick. I'm going to get the kids to school. I'm going to do the dishes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And then like, it's so mentally draining and physically exhausting to just be in robot mode. But it's so easy to slip into that.
Well, yeah, it is. And I think too, like, I've always been someone that didn't want to just, I don't want to say just because there's no just in anything, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't lose myself in one identity. So I didn't want to focus solely on motherhood as my identity, you know? You know, I work in local government. I really like that. I do a lot of other things. But even with that, I feel like I didn't realize how much of my identity still was and is wrapped up in motherhood. I think part of that's just part of being a mom. But with that, you know, some of it being stripped away now, like, you know, the times when I don't have the kids, it's like, oh, okay, who am I? Like, without them, because that's important to figure out, you know.
I think that hearing you say that, and I think you're somebody who is very self-aware. You are actively trying to be healthy mentally and physically. You are actively trying to have good relationships. Hearing you say, I still had to figure that out, I think normalizes that mental and spiritual and emotional journey for women who are feeling unmoored in a huge life transition or a divorce. So what would you tell another woman who maybe is in that first 6-7 months, like you were when you hadn't figured things out, and you were, if she came to you and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm 4 months in and I'm so exhausted, like, what do you think you would speak into her?
It gets better. Number one, it does get better with time. Also, do what you need to do to take care of yourself, I think is the biggest thing. Ask for help. You know, I had a couple weeks that were not great at first. And I immediately called my doctor, got on meds, like, you know, went to a friend's house, let them feed me, asked, you know, for people to watch my kids. And I'm usually a very self-sufficient person, but it was like, I can't do this. Like, it really made me realize how much you need community. And if you don't have that, which I know I've been in seasons of my life where I haven't had that, you know, reach out to someone, whether that's a mom's group or a church group or anywhere, to ask for help, because you're going to need support. I think that's the biggest thing. And it may look different for everybody. It could be your family. It could be friends. It could be, who knows? But that probably was the biggest thing. The more support you have and the more people you can lean on, the easier it will be.
I know it can be so hard to ask for help, especially if you don't have built-in community. But I know when I've seen posts in like those moms groups on Facebook, and somebody's like, I'm going through a divorce, I have two kids, I am falling apart, women step up for women
They
in
do.
those situations.
Exactly. They're like, what do you need? I'm here. Like, yes. Yep.
So I know that that can be like so scary and so vulnerable, but trusting that strangers want to help you if you're struggling, I think that can be, it's like a lifeline you didn't know you had. So it's okay to reach out and grasp for that.
And it's also very healing, I think, because when you are going through an upheaval in your life, and if you've had your trust broken, like seeing the good in humanity is just like, it's a very healing thing. So that's kind of a gift to yourself too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a final question I want to ask before we wrap up. What are you doing to enjoy your life this week? I know you didn't have darts. So what are you doing?
Well, I did go to the creek last night, which is one of my favorite things to do. And I actually am just transitioning to full-time being based out of my house for work. So, I've been in City Hall, we're running out of room. So, I'm taking time to like set up my office at home, which is kind of fun. Like, it's just able to like, oh, I can figure out a new little spot for me, which is nice.
Yeah. Are you going shopping for like decorating or like little items or like
a little
like
bit?
That?
Yeah. A little bit, trying to refrain from a lot. Cause
yes. It's
divorce
so tempting.
Also affects one's finances.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Alicia, I really appreciate this conversation. I appreciate your honesty and just the practical advice you give and the practical encouragement that I know that women are going to take away from this, whether they are in your shoes or they're going through a different life transition. I hope that they can be encouraged by your story.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And the one other thing I was going to say that I forgot to, but therapy is your best friend. I just want to say that. I love my therapist so much. So it's kind of like dating where you have to try a few out and sometimes they're duds, but once you find a good one, it's the best thing.
Do you have any like litmus test questions that you ask now and for finding a good therapist?
I don't really have litmus test questions, but it's kind of like a vibe. Like, it's like, do I feel safe with you? Do I feel comfortable with you? And like, you know, your first one's awkward, just like a first date would be awkward, but like, you kind of know pretty quickly. And yeah, once you figure that out, it's like, okay, this isn't working for me, I'm going to go to someone else. Like, but when you find a good one, they're worth all the money.
Yeah, that's good. No, I really appreciate that. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I hoped you enjoyed this conversation and it gave you some good food for thought. If you haven't ever done so, could you hop over to Apple Podcasts on your phone, scroll down, and leave a review? Leaving a review really, really helps boost the podcast visibility in Apple Podcasts, and it encourages me to keep going. It also helps other people find the show, and if you're like me and you are looking for a new podcast, you read reviews and you figure out, hey, is this something that I want to spend my time on? So leaving a review really helps in all those ways. Next, if you'd like to support the podcast financially, I'd encourage you to go to Buy Me a Coffee. You can find the link in the show notes or on the Facebook page, the Motherhood Metamorphosis Podcast. And you can leave a small donation. These help cover the monthly costs and also help cover my time for producing this. There's also some really fun freebies in the shop on Buy Me a Coffee, some art that I've created, and some mental health resources for kids that I would like to share with you. There's also the opportunity to talk with me if you'd like to schedule a virtual coffee and chat. I would love to hear your story, to listen, to hear you, and to give you encouragement in your motherhood journey. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you join us next time. Welcome everyone to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. My name is Brittany Ming. I'm your host. I'm going to start over because I want to ask you this. Pronounce your last name, because I feel like in my head and in real life, I don't necessarily do it right.